In any event, Shalayim Paradishon, Halacha Aleph, we're going to be discussing a lot of various issues over here that unfortunately I am not familiar with personally, and therefore if I don't have pictures and I don't appreciate the Latin names which the Mefarshim give, I'm not going to be able to really give over any specific shot in it, so I'll just stick to the names as they're given in the Gemara. Now we'll see that zonin are a degenerate form of chitim. They're not kilayim. Sa'orin and shibolet shual, kusmim and shithon. Now we'll see that there's two approaches in the Gemara. The one that is commonly taken by the Mishnah, because it's a Rav's approach in the Gemara here, is that these are two by two. In other words, chitim and zonim are not kilayim. Sa'orin and shibolet shual are not kilayim. Kusmin and shifon, even though they're two minim, but they're subspecies of the same overall minim. These, of course, are there from the chamishas minim. Everybody knows this. You know, we have oats and barley and so on. Now, pol and sapir, purkedan and tofach, pol halavan vishu'it. Those are things that we use today. Pol halavan vishu'it as being different types of beans. However, the Gemara here doesn't seem to hold that it's referring to a bean, and it takes out the word pole, as we'll see. Enon gelayim zebizet. So either two by two, or any of the above are not gelayim
zebizet.
One of them. Yeah. Now, the Gemara first wants to establish how we know that a species is what's meant over here, as opposed to a subspecies. And how do we know that we're allowed to mix various subspecies of the same species? Maybe any kind of discrimination in a subspecies, let's say you have the white type of and the dark type of, maybe those are, as far as the Torah is concerned, since they're genetically distinct, so just because they can be mated, so to speak, doesn't mean that we should be allowed to. So how do we know? Now, if it says sabchalot izrakalayim, I have no way of knowing from that process that the reference is not to any two subspecies of any meat. Or the same thing is true in a completely different area, which is the Antichalotarbiatilayim, and they're not mating animals together. And we'll see that the mating and the planting have very fascinating interrelationships in terms of learning the chiyuvim one out from the other, the most fascinating of which is the question of what the din is of harkavat ilan. Harkavat ilan is much more similar to animal mating than it is to planting. Because in harkavat ilan, we actually insert a piece from one ilan into another ilan, graft it, and now they grow together. And that's certainly not sabcha lo tizrak elayim. Now it turns out that sabcha lo tizrak elayim indeed only refers to sada and zera. But the din of harkavat ilan is learned from the hamtacha lo tarbiyak elayim. And the difference is immense, because the hamtacha lo tarbiyak elayim applies in chutzlars, since it's not a chovet hakarka. Sabcha lo tizrak elayim applies only in Eretz Yisrael, because it is a chovet hakarka. So astonishingly, the din of harkavat ilan is not at all the same as the din of planting. And it's actually a subcategory of mating the kilayim. So for that, as far as that's concerned, how do I know that dark shores and light shores aren't two subspecies and I can't mate them? How about, it says, beget kilayim shatnev. And this is yet a third quality of kilayim, not to mention that there's another quality of kilayim, which is not to work with animals that are kilayim, and there's actually yet a fifth element of kilayim, which is specifically kloyak terem. We're going to be talking about all of these variations in terms of the species briefly in this parak to define what are two species. But then, and then we'll get later on in the Masechta the various details. So when it says beget kilayim shat is lo ya'ale alecha, how do I know that doesn't mean even two types of wool? Afilu shnei minei tzema, afilu shnei minei pishkin. But that's, you see, the same exact question, isn't it? And the Torah goes out of its way by begotten to let us know that that's not the case. Piresh tibgabi, lo tibashatnez, and then it says, semo pishtim yachta. Being as all of the din of kilayim are interrelated in the general sense of being kalayim. So therefore, I can say, ma keloi begadim, she'asarti lecha shnei minim. Just like when I say lo tilbash, I mean two different minim entirely. Lo zemi min zev, lo zemi min zev. I don't refer to different subspecies. I refer to different types. So too, kilayim she'asarti lecha bechol makom, the use of the word kilayim anywhere, is no different than begat kilayim. And just like begat kilayim, the Torah defines as being two different species, so too kilayim shasat defined. Komakom, what is meant is a complete differentiation. Lo zeh mimin zeh, velo zeh mimin zeh. That's what we're talking about. And that explains why things that are listed here in the Mishnah, that on the surface certainly appear to be different, they're very, very different, but if they can come under the same general heading, and whatever that means will be gradually expressed in the halakhas to come, and we'll see that there's all different types of things we've taken into consideration, such as the shape of the leaves, the color of the fruit, the taste of the fruit, and so on. But as long as these things can be generalized to fit under the same species, then they're not considered to be kilayim.
Is this like a package that we learn all?
It's a mamatino. It's using the word just like the word means this here. It means this there. Right?
Once the Torah tells us that it's a species,
yes, obviously that's correct. We're not going to learn out and say, therefore, Sotchalot Yisrael means planting sheep inside of it.
No, I understand. But
the idea is still the same. So when I use the word Kilayim,
it's
like, yes, it's a good argument. But
like cotton and
I understand.
I'm saying so. I mean, there's so much of the ramifications for how we learn the Kilayim for a father also, right? It's not cotton and linen, that's our city state. It's wool. Like wool would come from an animal.
Right, that's why. But at least we still have the general qual that it's means of a totally different type. It's about as totally different as you can get.
What's the definition of the word Kilayim?
I don't know yet. Let's wait until we go to the Masechta and see if that itself becomes clearer with me. Omer Habibaba Zavva. Oops, sorry, I skipped you. Now, you start off by saying, Hachitim Vazunim, Enam Kilayim Zaviza. Okay, now assuming that we're talking about groups of two here, right? And we have each one is a separate set. So that would imply that zonim would be kilayim with saorim, or ima saorim kilayim. Not to mention the fact, I mean, you say achitim v'zonim ena kilayim zebizeh. Well, what is that supposed to mean? Zonim, they're not even. It's garbage. Nobody eats zonim. It's a dover she'ino ochel. An animal even doesn't eat zonim. Havimati umatmi kilayim. What I would have thought for a moment, if you hadn't told me, I would have thought for a minute that it's considered to be kilayim. I don't understand why you needed mentioning it. But why is it here? Omer above by Zav, I'll tell you why. She came to Kumlut, the Kainibo Tam Leonim. There are places in which zonim are used as seed for doves, and people do raise pigeons, the dove cooks, and therefore it's considered to be animal food. So wait a second. It should say, Uma, Rabbi Bovar Zavdek, Rabbi Eliezer. I understand. So in other words, Rabbi Zavdek is explaining our missions, requiring zonim, because there are places where the yonim are fed these zonim. So that means that Rabbi Bar Zav is ignoring the sheet of the Chachamim to go according to Rabbi Eliezer. What am I referring to? To Tanina Taman, Hamakayim Kotzin Bekeren. Somebody who has a thorn bush and allows it to continue to grow in his vineyard says Rabbi Eliezer Kidesh. A thorn bush is considered to be a kilayim. The Chachamim say, what is? A thorn bush is not food. It's garbage. It's a weed. So lo kidesh. And Rabbi Abu explained, what indeed is Rabbi Lezia's argument? Time is Rabbi Lezia. She came mikomot makainim otan ligmalim barabia. And in Saudi Arabia, their camels are going to go and eat this stuff. So what did Rabbi So mad Rabbanan sovereign meima. So what are the Rabbanan saying? The Rabbanan are saying that what? What do you think the Rabbanan are saying? No, we disagree. In Saudi Arabia, the camels don't eat thistles. Is that what the Rabbanan are saying? That's a little absurd. But the Rabbana Sagra name are Imakumo Bakandi Baravia. But you have the cool, let them call up the National Geographic and ask them, what do you mean? There's a Machlokas over here in the reality. Clearly what the Rabbana are saying is that who cares about Saudi Arabia? You're not living in Saudi Arabia. So therefore the Rabbana are saying, look, obviously, if you happen to be in a location in which this is food, fine. But makom shein mekaimimoto mutarim. Whereas Rav Eliezer is insisting, my time in Rav Eliezer, mikivan shein mekaimimoto b'makom echad me'asor minan b'kol makom shehu. He, for some reason, says that being as this is defined as a min of Eichon in a particular place, the net next to the min of Eichon. So now you're telling me that Rabbi Bava Zavda has just, and he said the fair, she came, the komot, she became mimotam. In other words, he is the fair saying halacha of Eliezer against the Chachamim. Since there are some weird places in which they will use zonim as bird feed, therefore it becomes not suitable for Michael Behemoth. How can I understand? Why would he ignore the Das and Rabin and go according to Rabbi Eliezer?
I don't want to admit it.
No.
Either it mixes or it doesn't.
No. That we'll see later on. You're right when it comes to the din of Harba'a, or for that matter, when it comes to the question of Arkavat Ilan. All that we care about is the genetic mix. But when the Torah says Satcha lo tizra, it means things that would be Zaruah.
Even if they don't intertwine together.
No. If they do intertwine. Yeah, I mean, the intertwining is a whole separate issue, which we'll discuss later, what defines intertwined. But the fact of intertwining of something that is not something that I would be Zerea doesn't matter.
Oh.
And this is not a Zerea.
No.
Yeah, grow by itself over here. The Zonian. I can't think of a... No, it doesn't matter. Even if one maniac plants it because he happens to...
if
he wants to plant it for a decorative plant and so on.
I'm trying to understand it. The fact that you have a wheat field
and... Normally we say but with the idea, except in a makam where this is a derech. That's what we're tying over here. The fact that you happen to plant it and you happen to want it, that doesn't mean it's included in Satcha lo tizra. Nobody plants it. So it's no different than if it's a weed that grew up by itself. Who cares if you want it? So now you're telling me that Rabbi Bava Zavda, for some reason, like we say in the Bible, we use the Russian, the Chiyahuda Ruba Shalaylam. What are you saying? The Chiyarabia Ruba Shalaylam? Who cares what they do in Arabia? We're not going to define the nature of a thing by Arabia or over here that the Gadla Yainim are Ruba Shalaylam. Says the Gemara, no. There's no comparison. Taman in Derech Bnei Adam Lavi Kotsimi Makom Makom. Nobody's going to go to Saudi Arabia to import thorns and thistles. So the Mela, if you're not in Saudi Arabia, this is nothing. It's useless. But Bram Hacha, what he was saying was not really as far. He's saying, since Zonin are bird feed, so people all over the world import Zonin for birds. Not because there are places where it's grown for bird feed, but since people will import it as feed anywhere, you can't say but what I say. So if he goes and he plants zonin for inokinami, those are zonin is zatchalotizna. So then I don't get it. Then why aren't they kalayim? They don't seem to be anything like kalayim. So may I tell you kalayim? Okay. So why do we say therefore they're not kalayim? First I thought you meant they're not kalayim because they're not suitable, but now you've explained, no, that's not the point. They are suitable, that's why we need to describe it, so then why aren't they kalayim? Rabbi Yonah, I'll tell you why. Min chitime, the truth is, you're right, the zonin doesn't look anything like chita, but it really is a degenerate chita. El shah perot mizanim. Perot are also mizanim. God is the zonin, but lo tizne ha'aret. Mikan shah perot mizanim. Now you know, that we maintain the sexual metaphor over here in the relationship of the harba'a of the behema, harkava of the ilan, and we'll see that this goes throughout the mesecta, and the zuria of the sada. So what you had over here is that the oret was mizaneh, so to speak, and bringing out these low-class chitim. But that doesn't mean that they're not chitim, it's still chitim. Rabbi Yaakov bar Zavda, doika me Rabbi Yirmiyah. Are we trying to say, he asked Rabbi Yirmiyah, that our Mishnah only follows the Shita of Rabbi Yishmael or Rabbi Yossi and simply ignores Rabbi Shita? The Tani Rabbi Yishmael or Rabbi Yossi or Rabbi Mishum Aviv termin min hayayin ala chomet avalo min hachomet ala yayin. You can take off truma from wine on vinegar, but not from vinegar on wine. Avar v'toran trumato truma. If you did go ahead and you took it, it would be a good truma. Rabbi Omer, whereas Rabbi says, no, hayayin v'hachomet shnei ninimei. Yayin v'hachomet are like two different minim, ein tarmin v'lo ma'atrim mizal zeh. Now, I mean, chomet is degenerate wine, and Rebbe says, even for the Ebed, you cannot use the degenerate wine as truma on the wine, and our mission says that degenerate tzitzin are considered to be actually a min hachitim, agreeing with Rabbi Yishmael Rabbi Yossi. That's outrageous. Why would our mission be going like Rabbi Yishmael Rabbi Yossi? Huh? I got you. I mean, it's tackled and he's looking at him. No? What are you going to answer this one? On my way, he said, not mistakelby. What are you staring at me for, you jerk? Go bring a whip, and I'll beat you up. I want to ask a stupid question, and you sit and stare at me like you're a big shot. What's the connection in the world? The question by Meister is an issue of min ha-ra'a min ha-yata. Because you're supposed to take out in chamat chavomi. It has nothing to do with kilayim. It has to do with what not defines the species, but what defines the quality. And over here you're saying, it's a different quality, therefore it should be a different species, like a two-year-old. And then you look at me and you expect I should relate to you as a thing, a very intelligent question.
But that's
already.
He says that
Shnei Minim. Yeah. Magabi, Kilayim, Magabi, Maitre, they're called Shnei Minim because the Torah is Maitre on the Kalabas. I'm saying two Minim, what's not two? He's saying it might as well be two Minim literally. Omer Rabbi Yona says, Rabbi Yona, now come on, let's not exaggerate the reaction over here. I mean, the guy's not such an idiot. I mean, how can you be talking to Stockholm? He had a right to stare at him and want his answer. Because I happen to know for a fact that Karavan Rabban and Kadmoi, Bozikameh Hadamilsa, when there were much older Rabbanim over here than Rabbi Yirmiya, for the previous Zairas, they asked this question to them, and they didn't say, you're a jerk, and bring me a whip, and we'll beat you up, and so on. They answered it, and they said, Taman Lamazo, become the Kilayim. One has to recognize that not necessarily is everyone so smart to have already incorporated this idea like Zavar Pashas. And somebody asks you something, so fine. It once it's established in his mind, it's obvious, but that doesn't mean that it's obvious to a novice. When a person asks, he may be a novice. Rabbi Yosef, now, when it says over here, getting to our Mishnah, it looks like groups of two. And says Rabbi Yosef that indeed Rabbi Yochanan says it's all written as groups of two. Kulon zugot zugot. So it's the chitim with the zonim. But the zonim, when it comes to sa'orim, that's different than the kushmin and the shibar shor and so on. Each one is itself. Now, when he said that, did he mean that our entire parak is like that? Because all of the Mishnayos are written in groups of two, as we'll see. Or can be read as if they're written in groups of two. So was Rabbi Yochanan referring to the entire parak or all Hada Hilkasa? Was he referring only to this first halach? Now, the Mabiyomar Rav, I'll tell you, I can bring you a riot. Rav says that Chamisha Yirakot Shadam Yosei Ben Yedei Chavato BePesach, the Mishnah that lists the five different vegetables that can be used for Boro on Pesach, so Rav says you should know that those five minim Kulam Mutarim Lizarab Arugahad, you're allowed to plant them all in one Arugah, and we said that added a Rav Pliga Rav Yochanan. That means that Rav argues on Rav Yochanan. Why? Because later on we have a Mishnah that says Chazeres and Chazeres Galim, Oshim and Oshay Sadeh. Now it happens to be that Chazeres and Oshim are two types of Mora. Are you paying attention or you need a smash? Do I see Havelin Ratua? Or Havelin Sakobe? I think maybe we ought to bring a little rib too. At least we'll keep them on the coast. Would you have one?
Well,
I'm sure, yeah. No, I mean the kind with the little, with the You think that'll keep you on your toes? It was the cat. So now, if you recognize that that mission is Zuga Zuga, it's the way Rabbi Yochanan is saying, then what it's saying in Olshe is not Kilayim with Olshe Asaga, but it is Kilayim with Chazeres, because Chazeres is Galim and Olshe and Olshe Asaga. So if Rabbi Yochanan is Badafka saying, no, it's only Zuga Zuga, so what's he saying? That Olshe and Chazeres cannot be mixed. But Rav is saying any of the minim of Mora can be mixed, which includes Olshe and Chazeres. So that proves that Rav argues on Rabbi Yochanan. But if Rabbi Yochanan was only referring to the first Mishnah, then it doesn't prove anything. Because maybe Rabbi Yochanan agrees with the Mishnah about Chazeres and Olshim. He agrees that those are a list of meaning, any of which are not Kilayim B'Zebizeh, right? So if we're going to say that in fact they're arguing Ha'ra'amra, that proves Al-Kol Pirka Igma. That means that Rabbi Yochanan is referring to the entire parak. And since he says that the whole parak was only written as Zugos, he must be arguing on Rav, who says you can mix Olshim and Chazer. Rava b'shem Rav, here it's very strange, Rava quotes Rav as also saying Kula Zuga Zuga. That the whole parak, Kula, is Zuga Zuga. So then Michal Fashitasi to Rav. Now, that means that Rav is Soser himself. Over there, when it came to his discussion in Pesachim about whether you could put all of the various minim of Mor into one aruga, he says, yeah, you could put it all into one aruga. And here he says that no, it's only Zuga Zugos, and therefore Olshin and Chazeres are viewed as two completely different minim, and they cannot be planted in the same aruga. Now make up your mind. I don't understand. Rav never said that. When Rav said they could all be planted in Aruga Achas, he was not talking about in a row. He was talking about in the technical Aruga, which is the name of a whole Sergia. Aruga Shiesh for Shisha Tachin, Shisha Tachin. That's referring to the square, and you can plant in one Aruga five different meanings, four along the edges and one in the middle, and the shape maintains the distance between the various meanings. But that's only true of vegetables, not of zra'im. So all that Rav was trying to say is that you can plant all the five different types of mora in an aruga, not in the same row, and that simply means to say they're all your akot, and they're not zra'im. So that's all he was saying. Lo'amar elishimina yarakotain. The kulan mutarim is a rabba aruga. And they can all be placed in an aruga, shisha al shisha, in that fashion. That's all he meant to say. Rabbi Yossi, b'shem Rabbi Chiya bar Va, found, Ashkan Ksiva Pinchas, Rehil ber Rabbi Alef, he found in the notebook of Rabbi Hillel by Rabbi Alef, and actually Rabbi Yonah, b'shem Rabbi Chiya bar Va, he found it written on the wall of Rabbi Hillel by Rabbi Alef's by his shtender, that since he would always get confused as to what the heck all these wild things are. So he found a list, and of course in those days you weren't allowed to write down a Pirush on the Mishnah, except for yourself, that's his Alpin Kosei. So he had his own little notebook where he scribbled on the wall next to the shtender to remember that the strange things that are written in the Mishnah, nobody knows what they are. So he wrote, okay, Pol means Pila, Safir means Bishuna. And he's got a list of the in the order of the Mishnah. Gilbona, Miluta, Sarpavna, Pasilta. Those are the meaning that we don't know what they are, starting with the Pol and the Safir in the Mishnah. Now, not that that helps us at all, obviously, but in those days, these were apparently the popular names for the Hebrew that the Mishnah was using. By the way, Kani Matnitin, the way to read the Mishnah properly, is not Pol Halava, which is a legume. We're talking about a vegetable called Lavan, not a bean. Same thing is true of a Shu'it. The Shu'it is not the Shu'it that we're referring to, the vegetable. And it's called Shu'it. It makes you really, it gets you moving, man. And it does the same thing to your bowels. Ma'alecha is b'nei me'ayim. It gets your bowels moving, too. But sure, it sounds like a good shalom to me.
It's good for your heart. It gets you moving.